Well, as I said at the beginning of the service, we are continuing today in a series called Here I Am, and the tagline is listening, available, and ready to go. And we're looking at just a number of stories in Scripture where a human being has said those words to God. And we're going to see today, in effect, God saying that to Moses. But I'm getting ahead of myself. When we started the series, I noted two things. One was we were going to focus on human availability and response to God, but also we were going to see through these stories that God reveals himself or characteristics of himself in different ways in these different stories. And we've seen, for example, through Jesus, God's forgiveness towards Peter. That's where we started. Peter, who had kind of blown it as a disciple and declared he didn't know Jesus at all, he denied him, and yet Jesus reclaimed him back when he might have turned away and gone back to his life of fishing, and Jesus, in effect, forgave him three times and re-invited him three times to be part of the mission and ministry that God was about. We have talked about the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and God will be named in that way in the story today. And we've seen how God is consistent through all of those, and yet we see characteristics highlighted about God. With Abraham, we see God's faithfulness in making and keeping the covenant with Abraham. With Isaac, we read that story of the near sacrifice of Isaac and saw how God provided, really even rescued Isaac and Abraham, and saw that trait of who God is as Savior, as Deliverer. With Jacob, we saw God's exceeding mercy towards a person who is a scoundrel, a trickster, who is a deceiver, and yet God saw fit to use him anyway in his story of redemption. And I suggested that perhaps throughout Scripture, when we hear God referred to as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, we be reminded that God is faithful, God is Savior, Rescuer, God is merciful. So today, we're going to look at this story in four parts. And again, I'm kind of keying in on these Here I Am sayings. We're going to see Moses say that to God, Here I Am. We're going to see God, in effect, say to Moses, Here I Am, and kind of reintroduce himself. We're going to see Moses, when he hears the task, kind of reverse the question, say, Who am I? You want to use me? And then fourthly, we're going to hear God's resounding I am statement and talk a little bit about that. So we're going to start in the first four verses, and I want to give you a little bit of a reminder of Moses' backstory. At this point, Moses is 70 to 80 years old, we think, in that kind of middle third of his recorded life. If you'll remember, he's the baby in the basket. Back when he was an infant, he was in Egypt with his people enslaved. This was some 400 years of slavery, and Pharaoh got it in his head to kill all the male babies. Moses' mother, led by the Lord, hid Moses away in a basket in the river, and Pharaoh's daughter found the baby, and long story short, ended up raising Moses in Pharaoh's household. So he was educated in the Egyptian palace. As a young man, he saw another Hebrew slave, but one of his own people, being beaten. And Moses came to his defense and killed the Egyptian who was beating the Hebrew man and ended up fleeing for his life, thinking that as much as I'm part of Pharaoh's household, this will not stand. And he fled into the wilderness. And so the kind of the second phase of his life was being a shepherd, taking care of sheep. He married a Midianite woman and took care of father-in-law Jethro's herd. And that's where you find him today. He's out with the flock of Jethro. And he's walking along, and I mean, there's all kinds of ways to describe what happened. I'm going to say God got his attention. But he was walking, and he saw a bush that was burning and yet wasn't burning up, as Melissa said. It was just this thing. And the story says he was curious and went over to see why the bush wasn't burning down. And it was out of that bush, the voice of the angel of the Lord called his name. said, "Moses, Moses." Shortly, we're going to find out that is the very presence of God. And I'm not going to try to untangle this morning the difference between the angel of the Lord or the actual presence of God. But it becomes very clear God has showed up. God has called his name. And to that, to his name being called, to this miracle in front of him, this supernatural phenomenon, Moses says, "Here I am." I dare say none of us have ever had God getting our attention in quite that vivid a way. And yet, I believe all the time God is getting our attention. We may have a sense that something is going on, that God's Spirit is moving, and we have the choice that Moses had of, "I'm just going to keep on doing my thing," or, "I'm going to pause and see what's going on." So in our tagline of listening, available, ready to go, it's that first word, listening. Am I paying attention? If I believe God is real and God is at work in the world, am I looking, listening to see where is God? What is God up to? Because I want to be a part of that. What might God be saying to you? I also want to highlight, based on Moses' story, I see him in much a similar place as we saw Peter a number of weeks ago, in that I think he has in many ways moved on. There's no chance he was going to go back to Egypt after having killed a man, and he's married, and he's found a profession, for lack of a better word. I mean, he's comfortable, and he's moved on, even though I'm sure he's keenly aware of his own people in slavery in Egypt. And I name that, like Peter, who had messed up and moved on, maybe going back to fishing, I named that because I think a lot of times we find ourselves in that kind of situation. It may be that in childhood or in young adulthood, we had an experience of being close to God, and for whatever reason, we've messed up, we've wandered away, we've become distracted, whatever it is, we've kind of moved on from that attentiveness that we once experienced. And I simply want to name that so that as we go through this story, you'll pay attention both to Moses and to what God was up to. More importantly, what God was up to. So I want to look at the next set of verses, 5 through 10, because then God speaks. And God is going to, in effect, say, "Here I am," or "This is who I am," reintroduce himself to Moses, and does so in a couple of ways that I want to highlight for you. First, God says, "This is who I am. I'm holy. Remove your sandals. The ground you're standing on is holy ground." Holiness is complete otherness, set apart from us. By virtue of God being present in the bush is not acting like a normal bush. It's not burning up. The very ground around it is sacred, is set apart, is special. And so he tells Moses, recognize that you are in front of a holy God. Take off your shoes. And then God introduces himself as, I said, the God of, and this whole series of relationships, the God of your fathers, that is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Now, it's been a long time since those people lived and their stories happened, but that was the essence of the Hebrew faith, even still. Moses would have recognized those names and those stories, however present or distant those were from his real life. And I think the effect of that is partly what I said. It's God saying, remember, I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the faithful God, the God of Isaac. I'm the rescuing, saving God. I'm the God of Jacob, who shows mercy even when my people are not being faithful. At that, we read that Moses hid his face. Having heard, God is here, God is holy, and this is the God that my great-great-grandparents worshiped, those stories. I don't know if Moses knew them or not. I trust that his mother told him as a young child, but then he moved in to Pharaoh's court. Either way, God is reintroducing. And then thirdly, God says, and I see my people and their suffering, their slavery, their bondage. I know what they are experiencing, and God's intent is to set them free. So at this point, I know Moses is listening, right? He hides his face, probably knees trembling a little bit. What we don't know is he yet available or ready to go? If you know the story, you probably have an answer to that. But he is listening, and that is the first step to experiencing and participating with what God is doing. And I want to pause there to say that's the first question for us, right? Before you can get to what's God doing, what's my part, am I going to obey, am I going to be a part of it, we got to listen, pay attention. Is God here? Is God speaking? What is God saying? Who is God? All of that is wrapped into this story. That's when Moses, who hears about, wait, you're going to deliver the people in slavery and I'm a part of that, he says, who am I? First said, here I am, but he's backing off now and saying, who am I to do this? You're God. Clearly, you're holy. You've seen the suffering. You're going to do something. What do you want from me? Right? And later on in the story, we find out he doesn't speak well. I'm sure he's scared to go back to face, you know, his murder and his history and all that. But God's response to, what do you want me to do? Is to say, certainly, I will be with you. God's saying even more about how he relates to us, how he relates to humanity. And God says two things. I will be with you, and I'm the one that's going to be accomplishing this. I'll be with you, and once it's done, here's your sign. You'll be back here with my people worshiping on this mountain. And I thought that was significant. There is in me always a desire to, God, that might be you. Will you just show me a sign? You know, it doesn't even have to be a huge rainbow. It could be anything. Just definitely not a burning bush, just something little. What I think he offered to Moses is, and we've talked about in Scripture how we see these huge signs and we think nothing like that ever happens to me. But what he offered Moses as a sign was actually confirmation after the fact. And I think God gives us that all the time, right? If we are obedient, if we are listening, if we take part in what God is asking us to do, I think almost always, once it's done and we look back, we have that confirmation of, I see how God was with me all along. I see what God was doing through this. And that is, I would use the word confirmation instead of the word sign, but it is that thing that we long for, to say, am I hearing God right? Am I making this up in my head, or is God actually here? And I think in hindsight, we often, if we take time to look for it, we see that confirmation that just helps us in our insecurity and in our doubt. So Moses is listening. God, having said who he is and what God is going to do, it looks like Moses is perhaps available already. And I would say that's the necessary thing to get from listening to ready. Right? In me, there is probably not sufficient courage or moral turpitude or faith to jump up and say, God, send me in to the viper's den, right? Send me in as the hero. I'm for sure with Moses, like, really, God? Me? Who am I? Right? But it's when God reveals himself, right, says, this is who I am, that moves us from, I think I heard God, to, I'm available, God, because you're the one doing the work. You're the one that's delivering people. You're the one that's powerful and holy and mighty. And if you ask it, and you ask it of me, I'm available. So then we come to verses 13 through 15. And I have a fair amount to say about how God reveals himself. But I did have an extra thought as I prepared this week. And I haven't checked this against the scholars, so take it for what it's worth. But Moses says to God, he's inching towards available, ready to go. He said, if I go to Egypt and they ask me who sent me, what should I tell them? What name should I give them? Now, God has already said, I'm the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you would think, well, why doesn't Moses just say that? And Moses will say that. Two things about that. In that sentence, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the word for God in Hebrew is just the generic word God. It's Elohim. I wonder if after 400 years, the God, the story and the faith and the relationship of God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob, after 400 years of being in slavery, had passed somewhat into kind of tenuous ancient story. I don't know if there was a continued vibrant connection with, we believe in the God of our fathers and we worship and obey. It's interesting that God adds this because it's so personal and powerful and revelatory all at the same time. God moves from just call me the God of your fathers to this is my holy name. And we don't really have the ability to translate it real well into English. It's kind of a play on the verb to be, but it's just four Hebrew letters, YHWH, and we translate it, as you heard this morning, I am who I am, can also be translated, I will be who I will be. But the idea behind it seems to be that nobody else determines who God is or who God will be except God himself. No one created God or fabricated God or writes God's story. God is self-determining and is the starting point of everything. God is. We read later in Revelation that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It's that same kind of idea that God is so, not even so, God is the basis, the foundation, the ground of all that is. And God says, that's my name. Tell him that's who sent you. The name is considered so holy, and this can move into somewhere between taking off your shoes and holy ground and superstition, but God's people for years and years and even today will not pronounce the actual Hebrew word for that name. And if you have Jewish friends, even if you see them writing God, they'll often put G-D because they consider God's name to be holy and something to be reverenced and not used casually. Even Christians, and this is fascinating when I found this out, if you've ever heard the name Jehovah for God, what that is a substitute for, well, let me say, it's okay for Christians to say Yahweh, which is the Hebrew name for God. But out of reverence for that name, a tradition happened somewhere in the Middle Ages where they took these letters, but the vowels they put in the middle were the vowels from Adonai, which is Lord. And that, if you do that, you get Jehovah. So it's, again, it's a Christian kind of way of subbing in. We think this name is so holy, we're not going to say it directly. And I think you can take that overboard, and that's kind of beside the point of today's sermon. It's just so interesting and fascinating. I think it's so easy for us to be casual about things that are so powerful and so holy. And God and God's name are one of those things. So God says to Moses, tell them, I am who I am. I will be who I will be. That's who sent you. And that name is, it's like the personal introduction of the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Because if you read those stories, what was God like with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? You read about a God who is and will be faithful, who is consistent, who establishes the covenant with Abraham, who created the world. I mean, that's who God is. This is the name of this God. And I think this is the ultimate, and probably this should have been the first or the last of our series, but this is the most important thing, more important than us saying, here I am to God. This is God's, here I am, spoken into the world. We don't even know who we're responding to without God's self-revelation to us. That's who Moses encountered, and ultimately who Moses said, I'm willing to go, despite my insecurity and my fear, because I recognize you are holy, you are powerful. So I want to end back with our title slide. In Moses' case, he started, God got his attention, he was listening, God introduced himself, revealed his plan, and Moses, after a little work, said, I'm available, I'm ready to go. My challenge, my question, and my invitation to you today and through the series is, where are you on this? Are you listening? Are you paying attention to God, listening to his word, sensitive to the Holy Spirit, saying, God, what is it that you are doing around me? How might I be a part of that? What are you inviting me to? And having identified that, I understand the fear, the hesitancy that Moses felt. But if you're listening, you're also hearing who God is, who it is that's at work in the world. And I think that's what enables us through God's revelation to be available, to be ready to go. My hope in all of this series for us as a church and for us as individuals is that rather than just kind of going through the motions, showing up, coming back, trying to be good people, that we will encounter the holy and powerful God and have some sense of what it is that God is doing, that we can say, here I am. Use me, Lord. help me and use me. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking and revealing and stepping into this world to say to humanity, here I am. I am who I am. Would you tune our ears and hearts to perceive, to see, and to hear what it is you're doing all around us? For the scriptures declare it, and I believe it, you are at work in this world. You are accomplishing your holy will. Help us to listen. Give us the courage and the strength by your Spirit to be available and to be ready to go. Help us in obedience and in faith. We ask all this in the name of Jesus and the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.